Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
An important opening stanza in the NFL season, not only on the field, but in the minutes beforehand. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jordan Cornette in with us today. Janae, scheduled day off here. She's all good. Nothing to worry about there. Just had to handle some personal business. But Jordan, kind enough to join us. You can hear him and his wife, Shay, on the weekends here on Game Day on ESPN Radio, as well as in the huddle over on the ACC Net.
Let's go.
Football's back, baby.
Let's go. It is back in the building.
And it feels good, and there's a lot of good that comes from it. We're getting ready. We're coming off night one last night, Chiefs-Texans. And listen, the game, after a while, became a pretty big blowout. There was a nice late charge towards the push for people that are interested.
It was cute. A cute little late push.
It was. You know what? A push is a win in my book.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Whether I'm at the blackjack table or the sports book,
when you're fighting back, especially, because it did not look like it was going that way.
No, not at all. So you had all of that taken care of in the game on the field, and we're looking forward to this weekend. Like, there's some big time matchups coming up. We're going to get to the old quarterbacks matchup between Brady and Drew Brees as Saints and Bucks start that interdivisional rivalry this Sunday. But we've also got the Rams and the Cowboys that are going to be going on this weekend. The Rams get to open up SoFi Stadium for that team, and Dak Prescott begins what's going to be a really important year for him in a lot of ways, playing on that franchise tag. But after everything that we saw go on yesterday with Dak Prescott, him opening up about what he's dealt with this offseason, feelings of depression and anxiety following his brother's death by apparent suicide, and opening up those feelings and the response that was met with, which was overwhelmingly positive, which we know the one large exception happened to be Skip Bayless and a very public backlash to his statements.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because in the business we work in, where we're supposed to analyze everything as it pertains to sport, and even stepping outside of sport, given the culture we're in right now, we take our platform very serious. And it's a shame that somebody with that much experience would sit there and do the very thing that we're trying to get away from, is looking at these athletes as nothing more than just pieces that go and perform, dehumanizing them and acting like they don't have emotions. They're just incredibly talented that are out there to simply entertain us. For Dak Prescott to open up like this showed power from him, not weakness. Should not be anything to be questioned, but embraced. To me, I think of, and this is going to sound really weird, but I think of somebody like your father. In the realm of what he did here at ESPN, people became such a big fan of him because he let people into his world. He let people into your family experience. And people love that. And it endeared him to so many. Dak Prescott, in a very different path here, talking about something very troubling in his life, something very chaotic that he's learning to deal with, he let us in. That's endearing. This is an athlete at that level that could be as closed off as he wants to be, but chose to share because he thought it may help people. He was doing this to say, hey, who's ever out there listening? Because I know how many sports fans out there prop me up on this pedestal. Give me this platform. I want you to know I don't just cash in big-time contracts and make big-time plays. This guy's America's quarterback on America's team. There's the New York Yankees shortstop, and then there's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. That's an immense platform. And for him to open up like that, Junior, I think that's huge. I think it should be celebrated. It's unfortunate that a guy would try to do this to garner ratings for his show, knowing how awful what he did was.
Yeah, and there's two very interesting ways to look at that. One that obviously I think you and I both experience in the way that we took those comments, and another that I heard from one of our colleagues that I want to get into. But also, just on this topic overall, Scott Van Pelt did such a great job on SportsCenter at night. His one big thing is such much-watched viewing for so many people. He had some pretty poignant remarks about Dak Prescott and his ability to open up about something as traditionally sensitive and off-limits as mental health.
One big thing.
We have never had more access to athletes than we do right now. Social media has allowed them to control message and their brand like never before. But it's more than that. The modern athlete is more willing than his or her predecessors to share themselves in ways that reveal their humanity, their vulnerability. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that these stars are just like we are, because we won't ever be in line for a 30-some-odd million-dollar-a-year contract. We won't ever be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But we all carry around things with us, pain, burdens, fears, and they get heavy because they're real, even if you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott shared with Graham Bensinger that following his brother's death by suicide, he struggled with depression, that the isolation of quarantine impacted him significantly as well. But Prescott shared this.
When you have thoughts that you've never had, I think that's more so than anything, the chance to realize it and recognize it and to be vulnerable about it.
And that's what's so different about the modern athlete. Not Instagram or brand management. It's the understanding that there will be understanding. That you don't have to pretend to be tough when you aren't. That you can ask for help and know that it's going to be met with compassion for the most part. And also to know that those who can't muster any aren't worth your time or your concern.
And so that's kind of the way that I took it at the beginning and that you took it when I heard those comments from Skip is saying, all right, what we're used to, you know, a guy who's made a living on these very blistering takes coming up here and is very well thought out, that if this is calculated, how deplorable something like this in this circumstance that can be so counterproductive. The thing that was encouraging was the universal rejection of it and so many people taking the opportunity and using their platform to share the way that things like, unfortunately, suicide have affected their lives, the way battles with depression and anxiety, they've gotten through them or worked with them and opened up about that. There was a lot of that outpouring that made it like that. The other way I saw this posed, and Bomani Jones was tweeting a fair amount about this that you guys can obviously here in the right time wherever you get your podcasts, he mentioned that it sounded like someone to him who may genuinely have operated his life in these ways, that the only way to get through it was to be quiet, to soldier on, and to do all of those traditionally, you know, toxic masculinity, whatever you want to call it, where the old way of doing it was to not say anything about it and go on through it. That was kind of the way of our grandfathers in that generation. And what an opportunity to try and reach someone like that and say, no, it doesn't have to be like that anymore. So either way, I think you can really find something to draw from it. But man, what a personal turn from someone with the influence like a Skip Bayless if this is an opportunity for him to learn about this. Now, based on comments we saw today, it doesn't really seem like that opportunity has been taken, so maybe it's time to wave goodbye to that, but it is an opportunity for everyone to self-examine through this.
Absolutely. A misuse of influence from Skip, a proper use of influence from Dak. You know, for me, I'm part of a community that nobody wants to be a part of. I've lost somebody very close to me. I lost my brother to a heart attack in 2016, August of 2016. I leaned on people who, too, have lost. Not everybody who's lost. There's plenty of people in my life that propped me up and kept me going. But those people who had the same type of loss, hearing from them was so critical to me being able to power through, to keep me from getting to too dark of a place. Those words lifted me up. So for Dak Prescott, who's in a separate community, but kind of a similar one because he's lost a sibling in the way he lost it, and he's talking about how he's struggling to get through, that is going to help so many people out there. The only conversation that should be being had here as it pertains to Dak is gratitude, thanking him for using his influence to help inevitably hundreds, maybe thousands of people out there, given the position he plays for the team he plays for, that being the Dallas Cowboys. The service he did here is as impressive, I think, as anything he's achieved. That's how important it is. So this is speaking from somebody who, too, has lost a sibling. I leaned on those people who experienced the same type of loss. That got me through. So me sharing that personal part of my side to say what he did helps. That's the reality of the situation here. That's why we should be praising Dak Prescott, nothing else.
Everybody grieves differently, but at times, true, that ability to reach out and find somebody else who's been through that, and maybe it's silent commiseration, maybe it's actual reaching out, coaching, and counseling through all that, but what Dak did is what true leadership looks like. Yeah. Les Kenning was a coach on the offensive staff with Dak at Mississippi State, and he was at Kansas at the time when I was doing one of their games, and we were asking him, what was it like coaching Dak Prescott? And he said, you know, we have different variations of the offense where sometimes we'll hurry up. He goes, I made sure in our offense that we huddled every play because he was that good of a leader where I wanted him in front of our team every snap, looking those guys in the eye, because he had that kind of effect on the people around him. And so that sort of leadership quality manifests itself in a lot of ways, and maybe none as important as this.
I mean, just look at the classes in which he's handled the lack of a contract coming his way. So many guys would combust, be a complete distraction to their team, and everybody would be a domino effect of negativity. This guy at every turn has answered the call. And to me, I don't know how it could be any clearer to Jerry Jones. We need this guy to be a Cowboy for life.
You know what? The crazy part is if this season goes well and Dak is great and they do anything short of a Super Bowl, they're going to have one of the toughest decisions that we've seen based on what they could owe him, what the cap could look like, and many, many other portions of that situation. Chinay and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All right, we've got quarterbacks making headlines off the field, certainly, but we know this weekend there's going to be plenty making headlines on it. Let's go watch old men beat the hell out of each other this weekend at the quarterback spot. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jordan Cornette sitting in for Chinay today. And I want to get to, because as we got past opening night in the NFL, the Chiefs getting a big win over the Houston Texans. Great quarterback matchup. We're all now eyes on what I think is the next sexiest matchup of the weekend in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady taking on Drew Brees and the Saints in that division. I want to get to that, but then I look up during the break, Jordan, and in the year 2020 of our Lord, Ben Wallace is trending right now on Twitter, and I was blown away by
how do we get to that trending.
So apparently the tweet, because finding patient zero of the tweet that is ultimately starting the trend is always difficult. This one wasn't. Who would be a better fit in the NBA today was the tweet from Hoop Central. Yao Ming or Ben Wallace? And I got to tell you, Rudy Gobert is catching strays out here. It is wild to me the way people are going at this man.
How does Rudy Gobert fit into the equation?
I apparently people are looking at using this as an opportunity to say just a reminder that Ben Wallace was the defender that y'all think Rudy Gobert is. And I'm like,
why? Rudy doesn't deserve that.
Like, Ben Wallace is good enough in his own right. We don't got to prop him up by cutting others down.
He wasn't. Look, Ben Wallace is a heck of a defender in a different way than Rudy Gobert is. So that's not even fair. And how, in terms of how they get out to the backboard, yeah, I give the nod there to Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace was a beast. Ben Wallace, there's a place for both these guys in the league. I mean, what was Yao? I'm forgetting his size. Was he 7?
Was he 7'5"?
I mean, a 7'5" guy, we see Boban in this league. Kristaps is a unicorn, so you can't make the comparison there. He's not Yao Ming, different games. But you could put a big piece like that who's skilled like Yao was when healthy. He's a problem. He's an all-star. This is a great player. Ben Wallace, the way he gets out to the backboard, you're always going to want a guy like that and a guy that can defend that way. Both pieces would be welcomed on a lot of rosters in the NBA.
Yeah,
I think they're too rigid to compare.
Well, it is different, though, in like the positionless, you know, air quotes NBA that we deal with today, because I think of Ben Wallace more as someone who would benefit from the way that we've kind of evolved in all this, because I just keep thinking in my mind now of Yao getting switched in a pick and roll and getting cooked out near the perimeter. Like, that's a tough one for the big
guy.
But
then think about Yao down on the block.
Yeah.
Putting people in foul trouble, making things happen. When you can put a piece like that in there, it's all about how you adjust to them. And that goes back to Budenholzer and the Bucks. With a guy like Giannis, adjust to the skill set of your star. Don't render him not MVP caliber because you're not making the proper adjustments. I take Yao on my team, although the closest thing to an NBA team I really have is the Chicago Bulls, living there for 15 years. I love a Yao.
Yeah.
I love a Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace was in a Bulls uniform. Didn't go great the first time around, but the team around him wasn't great.
Oh, my God. The fact that we get to have this conversation in 2020 because of Twitter
is... I did not think I was going to be talking about this.
We didn't prep for this in the pre-show. I will let everybody know that. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. Ben Wallace, by the way, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Put some respect on that man's name.
We probably need...
Can you give me a stat on Rudy Gobert as these bullets are coming his way?
We're going to... You know what? Coming up next, we're going to make sure we get something to support Rudy Gobert's cause.
He needs
and
that.
In about 10 minutes, we're going to get to talk to Marcus Spears, the big fella, as we get ready for a big NFL weekend with one of our best and brightest from NFL Live. But the weekend preview now is brought to you by Geico. Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And we do have Saints-Bucks this weekend. And Jordan, going into this NFL season, I think the thing I was most curious about was how would the two aging quarterbacks we saw on the move, Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers, both gel? And how quickly would it happen in their respective spots? And man, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to have your first rattle out of the box go for probably the second most talented and well-held together team behind the Kansas City Chiefs, that's a tall order.
It's a tall order for that offensive line, because what is paramount when it comes to the Buccaneers? Protecting Tomas Brady. Like, that better be at the head. I wish I knew his middle name. I probably should know that. Doesn't everybody probably know?
I'm going to find it. Don't worry,
Tom Brady's middle name. Look, that is paramount to this team, but to me, I mean, take the over in this game without question. Both pass defenses struggled mightily last year. Both teams are loaded with weapons in terms of playmakers, and they have Hall of Fame quarterbacks who are still playing really good football. Drew Brees playing a little bit better than Tom Brady right now, but both are great. I'm really, really curious to see these new additions late in the game to the Buccaneers. Tom Brady, yeah, we've already discussed that. Leonard Fournette? Like, what is, by the way, that's my fantasy football team. We're the, me and Shea, the Team Leonard Cornettes, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, no, that is. That's really well done by you guys. I appreciate
it. Don't even think
that
he's on our team, but yet still it works. I want to see how the Patriots are going to use Gronk. I want to see how Fournette's going to be in the fold. LeSean McCoy joining Ronald Jones in that backfield. I want to see if Tom Brady still has it, but I also want to see that Bucs offensive line rise to the occasion against the heat that's going to be coming on the other side from Saints.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing to remember is just how deep and stacked the Saints defense is. Now, sounds like Marcus Davenport's a little banged up for that pass rush, but you still got Cam Jordan waiting there in the wings, one of those guys that's a defensive player of the year type. And that's one of the interesting matchups. Tristan Wirfs, who was the first round draft pick for the Bucs out of Iowa, is a big, freakishly talented offensive tackle. But we know that's the position group that's going to take the longest to gel in any season, let alone the one with as little offseason as we've had.
So would you say, Mike, this is what I was curious about. Are they impacted the most? Because I hear so much like the defense will take the longest to adjust, but it's got to be those big guys up front on the offensive line, right?
I would think so, just because of everything, the communication that goes into that position. Defense, I think on the other side, for a lot of it, there's a lot of schemes that are certainly complicated when you think of like Greg Williams and the stuff that he's going to throw, the 400-level blitzes. But in some senses, early in the year, it's see ball, hit ball. And if you're good enough at that, you can go out and get it. We saw some of the Chiefs guys do that last night. But like Mitchell Schwartz gave up a sack last night. That does not happen. Yeah. He's one of the best tackles in the NFL, right or left. And so if you're going to put a rookie out there potentially to protect Tom Brady in this game, coming off a year where he had no preseason games to get anything resembling a true tune-up to this, that's the biggest concern I have that can undo all of this is protecting Tom Brady in a lot of this. We know that defense is going to hold down, improved a lot last year with Todd Bowles. I'm looking at, can they just keep Brady upright long enough for all these toys to start going
after
it?
And that's the biggest thing. Like, I feel like that's the question in this matchup. They're talking Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. I mean, look, it's the obvious storyline. They're two Hall of Famers. They're two guys doing it this late in their careers. But to me, this one is going to be all about what happens up front in the trenches. The line of scrimmage is where this game is going to be won, and at least where the story is going to be told with these Bucs. But again, I'm just so fascinated to see, is Gronk going to be a factor here? Is Fournette going to be a factor in this one? Is Mike Evans going to play? I mean, that would be so deflating if that hamstring were to keep Mike Evans out of this game. Because I can't wait to see Mike Evans and Tom Brady. I can't wait to see a big target being gifted back to Tom Brady. First one, really, since Randy Moss. I cannot wait.
It's going to be incredible. And you know what? We'll ask somebody else. Is Gronk going to be a factor? We will ask Marcus Spears next. We see him on NFL Live each and every day. We'll get his thoughts on that, plus a couple of the other big matchups of the weekend, including a Cleveland Browns team that has had him very, very fired up. We'll get to all that next after this word from 303 Protectant. See, just like your skin, the sun's harmful UV rays can be damaging to your vehicle, too. 303 Protectant keeps your vinyl, rubber, and plastic surfaces from fading, cracking, or deteriorating over time. Simply spray on and wipe dry. It's that simple. And you get protection that lasts you up to 30 days. You can use it on your dashboard, your console, leather seats, or even your tires. 303 has been a trusted brand for over 40 years, and they're the official car care products of Mecum Auctions. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts, just visit 303automotive.com for more information. Back after this, it's Shanae and Golic Jr.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If I'm sweating,
you got your wish,
and Jordan's sweating right now when this song comes on, I can only imagine how our next guest is feeling. It's Shanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. That's where we go. Our very own Marcus Spears, LSU's very own. When Boozy comes on in the club, Marcus Spears, I have to imagine there's no way to keep you still.
Brother, you have no idea what it is like, the dehydration level that happens when that song comes on. That's why it says wipe me down, because I'm sweating almost to near death. I appreciate the Louisiana music when I come on this show, by the way. Don't think I don't notice it.
Listen, man, we do it because we love you. That's the kind of environment we want around here. Lord knows this is a safe space for large, sweaty dudes in this studio and on this phone right now.
It's a lot of big love going on here. I like this.
That's all it is, man. Big, thick kings around here. So, Marcus, we obviously want to get into a lot of stuff. You can check Marcus Spears out on the new NFL Live crew that's been balling out at 4 Eastern every day here on ESPN. But, Marcus, we know last night a lot of attention was going to be paid to what happened before the game, and we heard those Boo Birds come out during that moment of unity. Take me inside your house. You're watching that game and hearing that in real time. What's going through your mind?
Yeah, man, we actually talked about it today on the show, and I appreciate you making that reference to Live, man. Appreciate that compliment. MGJ, I'm to the point, man, to hell with them, bro. Like, we have... You know how many times you have turned that mic on or you have been on television and you had to talk about people that don't understand yet what is actually happening right in front of their face. So many times trying to give explanations for why we protest, why we march, why we stand in solidarity, why we have unity. I mean, I saw last night what I thought was, if people boo this, okay, they ain't changing their mind. So why in the hell would I stress out about trying to change their mind? But it did clearly identify that it's never for that those particular people, and it wasn't everybody. I think that's important to point out. For that particular thought process and those people that have an issue with that, it never was about the flag for them because they would use that as an excuse. It never was about the soldiers because they would use that as an excuse. It never was about it's not really going on. It's not really that bad. It's look at the statistics and what was the reason why this police brutality situation happened. All of that. They never going to change their mind, man. So I'm not going to continue to give my good energy to worrying about somebody booing about something that has been so obvious in this country for a long time. And finally, people are starting to stand up and speak to it. Even people that weren't ever against it but never paid attention to it because it didn't affect them and the way they grew up, and it didn't affect them because they were white and they didn't have the black experience in this country. People are woken up to this now, man. Like, it is what it is. So I'm not giving energy to the ones that boo. I'm going to give energy to the ones that clap. That's what I'm deciding to do.
I love it, Marcus, and I've been saying the same thing. You got to put them in the rearview mirror and keep kind of pushing forward. Look, racism is not going to end in our lifetime. It's not going to end in my son's lifetime.
Right.
It's going to be a thing, but we're trying to lessen the gap. We're trying to convert those who want to change, see them change, but understand it's not going to be every single person. Going on to the field, Marcus, I want to talk about these Texans because I'm such a believer in Deshaun Watson. I do think that they have enough there to be a good team, not a great team. The superior team won last night. But are we jumping the gun by judging the Texans and who they are because of who they face and it also being week one?
Well, I'm not. I don't feel like I'm jumping the gun. Okay. Can they change and have a pretty good season? Yeah, but that Texas team I saw last night doesn't say anything to me about having a chance to win a Super Bowl or having a chance to go on a deep run into the playoffs. I'm as big of a believer in Deshaun Watson, and I believe Deshaun Watson is the reason it ain't been as bad as some of the decision-making and obviously players there. Last night, man, who's your identifiable one on that team? What teams are we picking to win a Super Bowl that does not have a weapon on offense that can't be stopped? I'm waiting on everybody to tell me that. Because when I looked at the Texans last night, it looks like a middle-of-the-pack NFL team, and that's because they got Deshaun Watson. Could you imagine that team without him? Look, I look at games, and I'm so glad it was a game played so I don't have to guess about what I think I'm going to see or what I think it's going to be. Man, they don't have it. Like, that's just what it boiled down to. I want somebody to identify one guy on the Texas team outside of Deshaun Watson that you got a game plan for.
Seems like we could be waiting a little while for that. ESPN football analyst Mark Spears joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30.
Mark has put in perspective for me. I think that's all I really need to hear, Mike, when I said maybe we're jumping a gun. No, they don't have a distinguishable number one. Aside from Deshaun Watson, what he does. I mean, Marcus, that's a great way to look at this thing. Like, I need to get off that train probably right now.
And listen, man, I hate that I have to say that because I respect the game of football, and I know teams can get better throughout the year. But when I look at this game and this league has always been about talent, man. Like, I think sometimes we get so lost in the analytics and the stats and how can this team – this game is about talent. Who are the dudes that's executing this game plan? Like, that is what it boils down to. At the end of the day, Deshaun Watson executes the game plan at one of the highest levels for his position. I don't mean to throw no shade to Kenny Stills, Fuller, who are Miss Cooks. I don't mean to throw no shade at them guys. But I promise you, man, I promise you, no disrespect, I don't think there's a team in the league that's afraid of one of them guys taking over a game and winning it for the Texans. I just don't believe that. And they could prove me wrong as the season goes, but when I think about guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones, and the only reason I bring that up is because they had one of those guys. Right? So.
Hurts.
I don't know, man. I mean, I it's tough for me to say that. It's week one. I don't want to jump the gun. But I ain't seen a team win a Super Bowl without a definitive weapon on offense outside of the quarterback in a very long time, if I can think of one.
It's going to be amazing to see if they even use the weapons they do have. If you forgot last night that Randall Cobb was on the Texans, don't worry, because so did they until about the fourth quarter of that game. So it is going to be amazing, Marcus, to see if they can develop something out of that team around that quarterback they just paid all that money to. Big fella, we always appreciate the time and expertise, man. We'll keep checking you out on live, and we'll keep talking to you around here. All right, brother?
My brothers, take care, man. Good talking to y'all.
Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst there, man. He laid it out pretty clear, man.
Doesn't need a lot of words to do it, too. I mean, he makes every word count, and it tells a story. And you've got to be ripping whatever hairs you have in your head when the criticism for Marcus is you lack a definitive one, and you had one in DeAndre Hopkins. And you thought because of personal matters, whatever, Bill O'Brien thought they'd be better off. And that is the story after week one. Show me the star alongside Deshaun Watson. That's going to be hard to forgive.
You know what?
Really hard.
Really hard to forgive. So we'll see what we can expect out of the Texans as we get into week two and other. We keep trying to stress it's week one, game one, but it already feels pretty definitive in a lot of ways. Coming up next, you thought I was done going to well on this one, but we've heard plenty about number two in Cleveland. We'll see if we can figure out who's number one there next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Too damn Friday here.
Yo, the jukebox.
Killing.
Shanae and Golic Jr. Sublime.
All-time elite. Nothing but love for our president, Cliff.
Cliff, no jukebox touches what y'all do.
So, man, that's all I can do here is just play the heat. I gotcha.
That's why I'm sweating. It's too much heat.
That is it. You know what it is? I had to remind myself, rare is the day where I have to be like, oh, yeah, it's Friday. Usually it's like I'm chomping at the bit to get there. For whatever reason, and maybe it's because we had the NFL. Like, yesterday felt like the weekend because we had the NFL back. And that's why today I'm like, oh, that's right. It is Friday. Like, I can look forward to the end of the week. But
you sprint for 3 hours every day. It's incredible. Your motor. You got a Patrick Beverly motor.
You know what? Pat Beverly, or apparently Ben Wallace motor, because that's, you know, the motor that Pat Bev thinks he has. Yes. According to Twitter, where Ben Wallace is trending in 2020.
All comes back to Ben Wallace. I love that.
All roads
circle of life.
All roads lead back to Ben Wallace. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Our thanks to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. It is Mike Golic Jr., Jordan Cornette in today for Chenae. And Chenae and Golic Jr. reminding you, tune into baseball action this Sunday. The Dodgers host the Astros, presented by Geico. Coverage begins at Sunday Night Baseball at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 8 p.m. on ESPN. Dodgers Astros won't be any bad blood in that situation.
No, not at all.
Whatsoever.
Why would there?
I can't think of anything saucy that'll happen in that one. But speaking of saucy, we got, like, there are certain divisions, and I remember I was in an NFL player's house one time, and he had this thing of baseball bats up on the walls. They were a team that played in the I think it was the NFC West, and they called them baseball bat games because it was always such bad blood interdivision.
Yeah.
Browns Ravens this weekend is a division that we traditionally think of, these Steelers rivalries with the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens, what have you, should be a good old fat, like a classic, if the Browns can finally show up and be the team we thought they were supposed to be going into last year.
Yeah, Mike, I think it could define what the AFC North is, in my opinion, because I do think that there's an unknown with the Bengals. I'm from Cincinnati, lived for 15 years in Chicago, so a lot of people think I'm a Chicagoan. I identify a lot with Chicago, but I grew up in Cincinnati, so I've held on to my Bengals. So maybe that's fandom coming out, thinking that they could surprise behind Joe Burrow in this weird season. That offensive line is abysmal. But we know who the Ravens are. We know what the Steelers become now with Ben Roethlisberger back. The biggest question mark to me is the Browns. We had this Browns team pegged last year. Every expert, it was in vogue to come out and sing the praises of these Browns and what they were going to do. And all they did was fall on their face. Losing record last year, this team never figured out. I think it was a losing record.
Yeah.
A losing record for this team last year. What we saw was an abundance of bravado, and it came from the top. It came from Freddie Kitchens. It bled on down to your quarterback in Baker Mayfield, and it reared its ugly head in incidents like a Myles Garrett situation on the field with those Steelers. Who was right? Who was wrong? I don't know. But you can't club somebody over the head with your helmet.
Day one stuff.
The discipline, it just got so far away from who are the Browns? Who can they be? Offensive line, horrible there. A lot of talent. Culture, miserable. So I never felt like we were really able to determine who the Browns were last year. Head down. Discipline. Kevin Stefanski's in. He's also calling the plays as the offensive coordinator. This team is hungry. This team is what I like to call poor right now. They're not getting what they deserve, but they deserve more if they work for it. They can get there. I'm curious to see what these Browns can do. But again, what a matchup to start out of the gates against the Ravens.
It does reek of the situation we saw with the Texans, where you're hopeful because of some of the personnel involved there, but you're going against one of those teams that has a chance to spoil us with how they perform out of the gate in the Ravens. But the Browns are interesting because I feel like in this division, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you're living in this division a little more than I am, it seems like there's more confidence from a lot of people in a Steelers team with an injured Ben Roethlisberger 100%. Coming back this year to perform and be at the level they were before he went down than there is in the Browns team with whatever version of Baker Mayfield we're going to get.
Without question, Mike, but it speaks to the consistency we've seen with Mike Tomlin there in Pittsburgh. They are always right there. They're either elite or they're a team that is just pencil them into the playoffs. It was an anomaly last season.
I say, and would have made the extended playoffs last year if they had been in the current format. So
exactly.
That close to it with, Duck Hodges and these guys
Duck
playing
Hodges.
Quarterback.
I mean, think about that. The Browns burned a lot of people. Everybody jumped into it last year and said, Baker Mayfield, this is the time. Cleveland is about to be a winner again. Cleveland's going to be the team. And because they fell so far last year, nobody wants to jump back on that bandwagon. To me, I think they have the biggest upside in week one. Baker Mayfield comes out. They do the job protecting him. I mean, look at those playmakers on the outside for them. They've got a run game. They've got studs on their defense at every level. This team can put it together, and if you do against the Ravens, I think you can start to talk about the Browns again, not with too much confidence because you got to play 16 games, but in a way where you're thinking about them differently.
This is a me thing. It's Chenae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, where I look at last year more than ever, and I go, you know what? A lot of that feels like Freddie Kitchens in that. We know he had some missteps even leading up to the seasons. He went away from a lot of the things, the multi-tight end sets and play action that made Baker so successful in their stint down the end of the stretch of his rookie season. And so Stefanski, who comes from that background, what he did in Minnesota, a lot of two-tight stuff, making use of the moves, Austin Hooper coming over in free agency, Conklin at tackle, they draft Jedrick Wills. All of these things should hint at, all right, let's get back to the stuff that our guy did well. Because you're right, they do that. And you mentioned Myles Garrett. He had to miss the last however many games of the season. Like, one of the best defensive players in the NFL wasn't disruptive. On the field.
Disruptive. But I'm glad you mentioned those tight ends and Austin Hooper getting paid to go there and be that playmaker. That's a safety net that Baker Mayfield quite simply didn't have before. So because of that, coupled with Myles Garrett, coupled with them being humbled last year, I think there should be a curiosity peak there in looking to this matchup, which isn't getting the fanfare that obviously the Bucs and Saints are.
Not getting the fanfare, but I'm sure we'll get plenty of attention when we get there. But plenty of attention and plenty to still break down from the matchup last night. We'll get back to that next on Chenea and Golic Jr.